Good morning. It's delightful to be here with you and delightful to see all of you here to our Sunday school session. This is one of the few places that I am privileged to go and to see so many folk in Sunday school. So that's a blessing. Blessing to see that, and an encouragement as well. Now, if you have a good memory, you would remember that in November of 2007, I was here with you, and I started to share with you on the from 2 Peter, you would remember, and we were dealing with growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you remember that? I thought you would be like me. If I didn't have it written down, I wouldn't remember either, but it's so good to see you here. And we're going to pick up where we left off a year and a half ago, 2 Peter. And I'm going to read with you just the last two verses as a scripture reading and seek to put in context the things we want to share with you for the next couple Sundays. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you would remember, I am sure, because when persons like myself come this way, you wonder what to say, because you have the prince of preachers that come through and minister to you, and someone said that when the locust preachers come, you know, you wonder exactly what to deal with. But you would know that the theme of 2 Peter is the last days. And what Peter is doing is bringing before us things to be thought about that will happen in the last days. And when he concludes his epistle, he wants us to know that the only way to face the challenges of the last days is by growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really, when you deal with the context, when you deal with the book rather, you note in verse 11 of chapter 3, let me just read that verse before I read our passage. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness? And so really, when you think of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's really developing a Christ-like character. And in order to face the challenges of these last days, one must develop a Christ-like character. That is the only way to combat what is happening around us and would help us to be victors in these days in which we live. And so then, our two verses, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. If you, one thing about, well, Peter and some others, they use these triplet ways of getting across truths to us. And in chapter 3, you would note the word seeing. The word seeing in verse 11, of course, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. He's talking about the things that people put most of their hope in. And then, of course, in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, found of him in peace, and so forth. And then in verse 7, again, 17, we have the same word, seeing. Seeing that we know these things. And, of course, we find Peter and others using triplets to get across certain truths, especially as we think of the last days. Now, very quickly, let me just say some things that I said a year and a half ago as we think of our sharing time. Tom Roberts, catch yourself. In 1.5 years ago, November of 2007, I mentioned to you when we shared with you from the Bible, in the Bible class, that growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or developing a Christ-like character, as we have in verse 11, involves at least two things. Number one, it involves the development of 8 Christ-like graces developed in conjunction with each other in all diligence, thereby creating an octave of spiritual harmony best exemplified in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to note these 8 graces, you go to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, it says in verse 5, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, of course, when he says add to your faith, faith is basic. Faith is fundamental to our life. Now, it is true, we don't usually think this, but it's true that life, whether it's with people who are Christians or people who are not, are lived by faith. Amen? Our lives are lived by faith. You don't know what's on the morrow. No one knows what's on the morrow. And so we live in relation to tomorrow by faith. I remember a young man saying to me, he went to school, went to university, spent a year, the first year, and he came back and I met him and we were talking, and of course I'm always anxious to find out what's happening to you as a believer, because when he went away, he was in happy fellowship in one of our assemblies. And so I asked him how things were going. And so he said to me, well, you see, I do not subscribe to the principle of faith as I used to before I went away to school. You see, I begin to think more logically. He used a big word. I wouldn't use it, but he said, I began to think more logically. And so I don't subscribe to faith anymore. I said, well, that's kind of interesting that you don't subscribe to faith. I said, how long do you intend to be to school? Well, 4 years. It takes 4 years to get a degree. I don't know if you saw where I was coming from, but he said it takes 4 years to get a degree. And I said, tell me, what are you going to do after you get your degree? He says, well, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to set up a business, and I'm going to make it good. I said, oh, okay. That's interesting. How you know that? How you know you're going to spend 4 years in university? How you know you're going to be able to come back and establish yourself and make a lot of money? And as the saying goes, you know. And I said, how you know that? So before he could speak, I said, so you see, you cannot live without faith. We all live by faith. The person who's not a Christian and the person who are not. Just like the fishermen, right? You have fishermen that are not Christians, right? And they go out to sea every season, right? And they go out to catch fish. How do they know they're going to catch some? They're hoping that they'll get a good catch and come back. And so it says we add to our faith. Faith is basic. Faith is fundamental. You cannot please God without faith. You cannot be saved without faith. So therefore, it's important that you understand that if you are going to know a relationship with God, it starts with faith. You are trusting Him. But faith is not the end. That's just the beginning. And now we're talking about Christians, right? We're talking about believers. So faith, as I mentioned, is fundamental in the Christian life. That establishes a relationship with Christ. But you know, if you do not grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be a babe in Christ all your spiritual life. You'll be a carnal Christian. You'll be one that can only have milk, never meat. And so faith is fundamental, but it's not an end in itself. And so Peter is talking to us. This is his last epistle. He's going to die soon. You remember he says this in verse 14 of chapter 1. For the Lord told me, and I know I'm going to put off this tabernacle soon. And he wants to leave these things because he is concerned as to what's going to happen to the believers in the last days. And someone has said that which is uppermost in the mind of a person when they're about to leave this life, we tend to place a lot of stock in it, right? We tend to hold on to it with all the commitment to make sure those things are carried out. And we listen very carefully because someone has said that the things that a person say just before they leave this life forms a window to the soul. You get to know. You get to know what's the end for them, how they're looking forward to eternity, and what they want to leave with you that you would carry on. And this is Peter. Peter is concerned because he's articulated what's going to be in the last days. And so he wants the believer to be able to face the challenges of the last days. And they will come, right? They will come, whether we want to face it or not. They will come. So therefore, how are we going to face? So Peter says then, in order to be able to face those challenges, you must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I search through the book itself, I have come up with the fact that it's really talking, in essence, of developing a Christ-like character. And so now, he says you are to add to your faith. Faith is not an end in itself. It's the beginning when it comes to the life of the believer. You are to add to your faith virtue. That is the commitment of excellence as a believer. You want to be excellent in your life. You want to be excellent in your ministry. You want to be excellent in your involvement in the local church. Add to your faith excellence. Don't settle for mediocrity. That should never be a word in the vocabulary of the believer. But excellence, excellence. Add to your faith excellence. And to virtue or excellence, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love, or brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, he goes on to tell us, if we lack these things, we do not have vision. We lack vision. We lose our vision, and we lose our understanding. And so it involves a development then of these eight Christ-like graces. And they must be developed in conjunction, with each other and with all diligence. You see, you can't settle for one or two. It's the whole eight of them. And it's interesting for you singers and you musicians, it's interesting the fact that it's eight, it's an octave. And when you think of music, you think of rhythm, don't you? There is a verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it tells us that we are to grow. May I read it? For we are his workmanship, that's it. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The word workmanship is the word from which we get the word poetry or poem. When we think of poetry or poem, we think of rhythm. Don't we? It's a musical term. And so, when we think of then these eight graces, this octave, this spiritual octave, they are very important, all of them. And if a person sings and drops a note, if Tony plays and drops a note, it goes out of tune. And so when Peter is talking to us, he's saying that all of these are necessary for a well-balanced spiritual life that's in tune with God, that's glorifying. Now, the second thing, it not only involves a development of these eight graces, which are to be done in diligence. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavor, a strong word. Diligence, a strong word. We are to apply ourselves, suggesting it just doesn't happen automatically. We don't grow spiritually automatically. There has to be a personal application of ourselves. You've got to come to church when you don't feel like it. Because, I don't know if you're like me. If you, Brother Frank is a little different. I marvel of Brother Frank being 80 years of age now with all the energy that he has. Always on the go. And we spent a couple of days in Marsh Harbor just the other day. And he starts some like 5 in the morning. And then, you know, he's very courteous. He don't want you to tell you, come, Tony, let's go.
But he means for her to come, let's go. And it, listen, it's time, let's go. And he's on the go. But there are times I don't feel like going. Sometimes I don't feel like going to church to preach. Now you're going to call me carnal sometime. But I don't feel it all the time, do you? No. But you got to go. So we are to be diligent. We are to endeavor. And this is what it takes. Because if you mind your feelings, you won't read your Bible every day. If you mind your feelings, you're not going to go out to meeting every time the bell rings. If you mind your feelings, a lot of things you will not do, and you will not grow. Amen. It's not automatic. So Peter says, these eight graces are to be developed, are to be developed in all diligence. And so secondly, we are to observe five reasons why we ought to grow in the knowledge of grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, because we are growing the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, number 1, grace and mercy are multiplied. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you noticed in your reading through 2 Peter? I've not marked it in 1 Peter. I guess it's there too. Peter uses all of the titles of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that. I like that. The Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why he's been so impressed by the Spirit to use the full titles of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember in the book of Acts, when God let down a sheet with a lot of animals, some were clean and some were not, and God said to Peter, he was on the housetop, he was trying to teach him a lesson, and he said to Peter, Peter, arise, kill, and eat. Arise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Not so, Lord. He cannot be your Lord, and you say, not so. I want to believe that Peter, as he grew, as he went along in his ministry, he got to realize, you know, no, if he is Lord, I must do everything, he says. I must follow him. And personally, I see it coming through his writings as he's seeking to exhort us. And in the second epistle, he is emphasizing the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when you come to verse 2 of chapter 1, we observe the five reasons why we ought to go. First, grace and knowledge becomes multiplied through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, the last verse of chapter 3, grow in grace and in the knowledge. And so, because of grace and peace are to be multiplied. To also, all things pertaining to spiritual life and godliness are realized. Verse 3, according as he as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. See the word again? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, spiritual nearsightedness and forgetfulness are avoided. In other words, we have vision. We have spiritual vision as you grow. It's amazing the vision God gives you. You see things, you appreciate more in the things of Christ. Vision. And as you memorize the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, as you grow in the Word of God, you remember more too, right? It's amazing when those crises come, when those challenges come, how those words, just those verses, just pop up in your mind. Your memory. But you know, if you don't grow, you're not going to have vision. You're going to be nearsighted. If you don't grow, then you are going to be forgetful. And so then, he mentions in verse 9, let's read it. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Also, we will not stumble. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Ye shall never fall. You know, you don't have to backslide, you know. You don't have to give in to the temptations of the flesh and follow after those things that negatively impact your life. You don't have to do it. That's why it's so important. And Peter is saying to us in so many words, as the last days come on, it's going to be rough. It's rough now, right? It's plenty rough now. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I hope it doesn't get worse economically, of course, but morally and spiritually and socially, things are not going to improve. We hope so. This is why, you see, God exhorts us through Paul by the Spirit that we should pray for the powers that be, that we as believers should what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with praying for having a quiet and peaceable life in a wicked world. To be able to live, to be able to live righteously in a wicked world. And we are to pray that we might, in the midst of it all, and some believers are going through a difficult time because of their faith. I always say, as an illustration of my own experience and the fact of the Bahamas, which is a different place, I'm telling you, when it comes to being a Christian. When I got saved, I went to the place I worked, and I started testifying that I was a Christian. I just got saved. I went to this man who was a sinner. He wasn't saved. And when I used the designation that he was a sinner, I mean, he was a sinner, not just by nature, but by practice. I knew the man. But when I went and told him that I became a Christian, he shook my hand and he said, "That's the greatest thing you could ever do." Now, that doesn't happen in some other parts of the world, you know. when you claim to be a Christian, you might lose your life on the spot. Many places, they don't have jobs. 2 years ago, eh? 2 years ago, came out with Dr. Dobson's, James Dobson's statistics, that some 300,000 Christians died for their faith 2 years ago. Haven't got the latest statistics, but they're being killed all the time. In these Muslim countries, that's what's happening with them because of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the challenge is there. The challenge is there. But when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, however difficult the times might be in relation to our spiritual commitment and the onslaughts of the enemy, we could stand, we will not fall. And that's what Peter is saying. Peter says you don't need to fall in the last days. A Christian has all of the temptations that other people have, right? They have no temptation taking you. Come on, help me out now. But such is common to man. So what are you saying, you know? Sometimes when things come our way, boy, only me going through is just kind of thing. Boy, this is rough. Other people do, you know. Only you don't know about them. But it's common to everyone. Common to everyone. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to overcome. That's what he's meaning. Oh yes, we're going to be tempted. And so Peter is saying to add, to grow, you will not fall. And finally in that, an abundant entrance into heaven will be experienced. That's in verse 11 of chapter 1. Now we're talking about developing these eight graces, right? This spiritual, musical commitment, experience. Verse 11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There it is again. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, an abundant entrance. I like to think of Psalm number 24. Is that the Psalm? "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift them up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come." And who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift them up, the everlasting doors,